Welcome to Acts 2. We are so thankful that you are all here this morning. Oh man, I don't know about you guys, but I would go to battle with our worship band like any day. Like I love our people, I love our passion. It's just incredible to be a part of. If you are new with us this morning, or maybe haven't ever been here before, just so everybody knows, my name is Mike Gokenauer. I'm the pastor here at Acts 2 Church, and I'm incredibly thankful to be here with you this morning. And I love to kind of look out. So Brett alluded to the meat locker that we're running this morning, and I look out and I see blankets. It's incredible because we're kind of in this change of seasons, right? Where weather's changing a little bit, and you know it's still kind of muggy, but it was cool, and and so we're forced to kind of adapt a little bit sometimes. I love how that's kind of a reminder of what God has to share with us this morning. Before we get too far, though, I just wanted to share that this is now our second week in our Back to Church series on togetherness. And this togetherness, I'll get more into it in a little bit, but basically what this was, or this series is there's a whole nationwide network of churches that from different backgrounds, different denominations, different sizes, just different areas, you know, big cities, small cities, country churches, like they're just all over joining together and wanting to share this same message, to share this message of what the purpose of the church is. And the purpose of the church to be a place to love, a place to share in peace together, a place to share hope with our friends and our communities. And as we're coming off this series of Acts and how the mission of the early church was to go out and share the good news of Jesus to Judea and Samaria and all of the world to the ends of the earth. You know, I want Acts 2 to be a place on mission to bring the gospel to the Gretna, Ashland, Millard, Council Bluffs, Springfield, and to the ends of all of our communities. And so that's what we're talking about with this series of togetherness. Before we get too much into the message, though, let's just take a moment to pray for the Holy Spirit to be present and stir within our hearts this morning. Father God, we just come before you. We come before you this morning in with an attitude of thanksgiving for this place to be able to come and worship and praise and God, just share our passions and skills together. Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit dwell in us this morning, the Holy Spirit to stir within our hearts. Let us learn something more about you and move to apply that immediately. Father, we thank you for your son Jesus and the sacrifice that he was. So God, we can have a place to grow closer together and grow closer to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So this morning, as we continue on in this series about togetherness, I kind of thought it would be kind of fun to have some crowd participation this morning. You know, as if we don't participate enough, I wanted to kind of get you guys involved a little bit. You know, I know Brett gets us going, and Joel and Kim really got us fired up this morning with the opening set of worship, but you know, I want to make sure that you guys don't fall asleep during my portion of service. So I'm going to play a little word game with everybody. And what it is it's just some things that really kind of go together. You know, it's I want you to shout out what immediately comes to mind when I say salt and... Oh, man, did not go the direction I was thinking it was going to go. Most people would say pepper. But we are in a church, so yes, salt and light is a thing as well. But salt and pepper was kind of what I was looking for. Here, let's try one more. Let's try another one. How about peanut butter and jelly? How about Batman and... How about Adam and, okay, so there's a good church one for us. Adam and Eve. Oh, yes, Husker and, right. So you got to know your crowd, Tim. You got to know your audience. How about hide and seek? How about pros and cons? You see, we could probably do this all day. Like, we could go through so many different things that naturally come to mind when we say a word. And as we're doing this, what I want to try to demonstrate is how things come closely together and are become closely associated with one another, that they really become inseparable. Today's message is going to be talking a little bit about this. What comes to mind if I said the word church? You see, there are probably, you know, roughly 30 or 40 different things going through all your minds right now. With saying the word church, when you go out into the community and you say Acts 2 Church, what comes to mind? And that's kind of what we're talking about today. This is one of these things. This is the word church. This is one of those words that probably, like I said, have all kinds of different directions that are coming to mind. All kinds of different words that are filling into your brains. Some of them are probably good. Some of you might have had bad experience with churches, and so that comes to mind. And probably anywhere in between. What if the word church, when mentioning that to somebody, when talking about Acts 2 Church and whatever communities that we live in, or wherever our mission fields are, what if the immediate thought was love? What if I said church and everybody just said love? To where they go hand in hand, where they're inseparable. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. That we kind of went into this message, this series, talking about together we can find peace. And we talked about what Paul had shared about shared to the church in Ephesus through the beginning part of his letter, and how together we find peace. You know, and just a little bit about where we're at within the series is we're using the book of Ephesians as a roadmap for this series. And so just to make sure that we understand a little bit of the context, you know, what we shared last week was a little bit about the town of Ephesus. You know, it was a port town. It was a town that was very busy and a lot of diversity and a lot of people coming and going because it was a trading town. You know, and so there's people coming in with all kinds of different beliefs, different philosophies on life. And so Paul is writing to the church that he helped start on his missionary trips, knowing what they're facing. You know, those group of believers, as they're living in this kind of fast-paced situation, this community where there's a lot of coming and going and a lot of different opposition or a lot of different challenges that they were facing with sticking with Christ. You know, I couldn't help but think about what we face today. I mean, doesn't it feel like we live in a super busy world? Doesn't it feel like we live in an area now where, you know, really, like, there's a ton of opposition to Christianity? Doesn't it feel like we live in a society and culture, just not only within our immediate community, but all over the world, that is trying to find everything possible to help them other than just Jesus? This group of believers were facing the same challenges that we face today. That's what's so incredible to me as I dive into Scripture more and study what God's word has to say, is that the same things that we are facing today are things that were faced years and years and thousands of years ago, when the original audience was being written to. And it just kind of, like, it humbles me so much that we allow the same things that they were dealing with then to come in between us and God today. It just looks a little bit different. You know, the fast-paced trading of the town of Ephesus, might be replaced with our considerably faster cars and, the ability to fit a lot more within a schedule, but it's still the same kind of busyness, just filling our schedules up. And I just think through the things that they were facing, the challenges that they were that were laid out in front of them, aren't much different than what we face today. And so as we're kind of looking through Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, what we see over and over and over again is Paul talking about, in light of those challenges, in light of the things that they were facing, that Paul was consistently emphasizing the importance of togetherness. Togetherness in understanding the gospel of Jesus. Understanding the good news of Jesus is something that unites us instead of separates us. This good news of redemption that Jesus was. The great news that that we are all being brought together in oneness and unity for God. As I kind of thought about this, and as I read through the scripture more and more and more, it just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. This togetherness that Paul is talking about, it's a togetherness that impacts our lives, and it should impact our lives personally and change our immediate world, our world that surrounds us. And not only that, it should be changing the world of those that are within our world, those within our realm around us. You see, the group of people, and I kind of shared a little bit about this last week, the group of people that Paul is writing to, it wasn't easy for them to grasp all this. It wasn't easy for them to stay consistent with all the other beliefs and all the other philosophies and all the other influencers within their city and their community constantly being basically countercultural to what Jesus was trying to teach. Jesus was teaching countercultural things. He was teaching things that did not go along with what everything that was happening around their communities and their world. And so these group of people, as they get this letter from Paul, what they do is they come together and read it. They wrestle through what Paul's trying to remind them of. They wrestle through the wisdom, and they wrestle through what God had laid on to the disciples. And so these people, they take this letter and they gather together in small groups, and they talk about it, and they try to figure it out together. Sounds an awful lot like what we do with home groups. I couldn't help but see more and more parallels in between the early church and what we try to accomplish today in 2019. This parallel where we are in 2019 and the people and the society and the culture that they were facing that existed when Scripture was being written, it's uncanny if we actually pay attention. God wants us to take note of those parallels. He wants us to understand where the things that we face today are a lot like what the people that he was speaking to at that time when Scripture was written. And he wants us to take note of that, to understand that we can take the same principles, the same things that are being taught in Scripture that we read through and apply it today. He wants us to pay attention to those things so we can refocus on his design for the church and for his people. So today we continue this Together series. And in this Together series, we're going to explore something that's going to help us and help the church become more associated with that word love. And so when we go out into the country, the community, and we go out into the areas that we live and the areas where we work, and we talk about Acts 2 Church, or we talk about Jesus, we want people to associate that with love. Today, last week, we talked about how together we find peace, or we experience peace. Today, we experience love. In togetherness, we experience love. And this togetherness, really, in order for us to really experience love, this togetherness first requires a commitment, or a commitment to do life together, to be in unity together, to be journeying through life with others. Just like the early church in Ephesus, the people that were gathering around and studying this letter from Paul, they're doing it together. In this togetherness, we want to understand. We want to renew our commitment as a church to be a place that is welcoming, you know, hopefully to express and share the love, the hope, the forgiveness, the redemption that Jesus was, and most importantly, his love. This togetherness, as we journey together, we're going to live, we're going to learn, we're going to worship together, and we're going to grow into a united body that is seeking to make an impact for his kingdom, make an impact within our communities and ultimately our world together. And that's the beauty of this book, Ephesians. It, as I mentioned last week, it's 6 chapters long. The first 3 chapters are really spent on this idea of being united in Jesus. This redemptive plan that God had from the very beginning to bring humans together to God through Jesus. And so Paul is reiterating this. He's primarily dealing with this in the first 3 chapters, where he is just talking and talking and talking about God's master plan. God's master plan from the very beginning of uniting us to him, uniting Jews and Gentiles through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, and in that unity that Jesus brought, the redemption that Jesus brought, uniting us then with God. You know, and as a result of this togetherness, as a result of Jesus, together we can experience the presence of love. We can experience his presence in amazing ways. Together we can experience the peace as a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, who is our peace. And today we continue on and we explore how together we can experience love, the love of God through relationship with one another and relationship with Jesus. And so our main text today is Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. And this scripture really is coming from, as Paul is kind of wrapping up this description of God's gospel work through time, through history, through the purpose of Jesus coming to unite people in him, bringing God and man together, bringing the Jews and Gentiles together. And he says this, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." What an amazing love. Paul uses this extravagant imagine, you know, this picture, this imagery to deliver this picture of God's vast and limitless love to the people that he's writing to. That message is still for us today. And so I began the message today with some word association. And so I want to go back to this a little bit, this word association. But I want to do it in a little more of a rhetorical way. Because I imagine that as I was thinking of this, in light of this scripture, there'd probably be a lot of different answers that come up. But with this word association, you know, I started looking at the scripture and said, wider than what? You know, the universe? Wider than the ocean? You know, there are multiple things that can come up, but no matter what you insert into that blank, God's love is wider. You know, or it says longer. Longer than what? Time? History? The wait at the DMV? No matter what you put into that blank, God's love is longer. What about higher? Higher than what? The highest mountain? Higher than the moon? Higher than the stars that we see? But there's nothing higher than God's love. And the last one was deeper than. There's nothing deeper than God's love. And so it doesn't matter however you fill in those blanks. As you hear those phrases, wider than what, longer than what, no matter what it is that you think of, no matter where you fall in there, Paul says that God's love is bigger, better, is longer, is wider, is higher, is deeper. So much so that Paul goes on and says that this love surpasses knowledge. This is Paul's moment where he just kind of says, this blows my mind. How high, how long, how deep, how wide God's love is. It surpasses anything that you could possibly drum up to fill in those blanks. And that is Paul's moment of just kind of saying, this is mind-blowing stuff. It's overwhelming. To me, when I think about that, about how much God loves me, it's overwhelming. I don't deserve it, but he still gives it. And that blows my mind. And it's a love that we can experience together. It's a love that is meant to be experienced together. It's a love that is meant to be modeled for others as well in how we interact with them. It's a love that's meant to be experienced not only within the church, but outside of the church. Because really, in Scripture, the church is the people. It's not this building. It's all of you. This is the love that people should associate with. The people that when they hear Acts 2 Church or when they hear about Jesus, this is the kind of love that they should immediately think of. It's the kind of love that was God's plan all along. It was the kind of love that, it's meant to be experienced in everything that we do and everything that we talk about and everything that we share, everything that we, in every way that we choose to act or speak. This is the kind of love that was God's plan all along. I thought about this love. I wanted to try to reflect on this love more. I tried to reflect on my own life and say, am I displaying this kind of love? And I thought about God's design for the church. If all we did was show up, sing a few songs, maybe shake a few hands, share a couple hugs, if that's all we did and then went back home with no life change, we're completely missing the point. If that's all we did, we are completely missing the point of what Jesus came for. But if we gather on Sunday mornings and life groups or throughout the week in Bible studies, if we gather with an openness, if we gather with a grace for one another, if we gather with a genuine care for one another, And we gather in humility to recognize our need for a Savior, our need for help, and our need for forgiveness, our need for a deeper kind of life with one another. Then we're reaching the vulnerability. We're reaching the moment where it's required for us to be known, to know Him and to know one another, to truly know each other. That's when the transformational power of God's love can work. When we approach life together with that kind of openness, that kind of genuine care for one another. And that's when God's love can perform the redemption that He sent His Son for. When we become, you know, humble and vulnerable in this, when we open up to one another and do life with genuine authenticity with one another, that's when we're able to experience God's love with the people that surround us. That's how we're able to experience God's love in moments of just laying it all out on the line. Laying it at the foot of the cross and doing it with others. That's when we can feel the support and the encouragement for one another that are just journeying life with us. That's when we're tapping into the very nature of God. You see, in 1 John 4, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." You know, it's not saying that God, provides the feeling of love. It doesn't say that there's a display of love or anything like that, that it's a feeling that comes and goes, but no, it's saying that God is love. He is love. To be in a relationship with God, to be in a relationship with others through Jesus, is having that relationship with love. Having that relationship with love itself. It's tapping into the very nature of God. See, all throughout history, even as we read throughout Scripture, from creation all the way through Revelation, it's shaped by God's love. It's shaped by this kind of love, and we are called as people, as humanity, to be a part of it. Not to sit on the sidelines and observe it, but no, get into the thick of things and experience it and be a part of it. See, Jesus Himself said in John 13:35, it says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." If we want Christianity, if we want the Acts 2 church to have that inseparable connection with the term love, there's no better way to show Jesus to others than just to love them. Despite how annoying they might be, despite how different that they might think or different backgrounds or maybe different social statuses, it doesn't matter. If we want them to know Jesus, if we want them, when somebody asks them, "Hey, what do you think about the Acts 2 church?" or "What do you think about Christians?" if we want them to immediately say, "Man, they know how to love people." We show them that we are disciples of Christ by loving each other, loving one another genuinely, despite anything else that would lead us differently. Not by our hard work or earthly successes or any of those things that are going to show people Jesus. It's by how we love people. That is the best way to show them Jesus. Love them. Kind of brings us back to the original question. What if I said church in a word association game? What if I said church? Would the inseparable item, the inseparable term, be love, or would it be something else? Love is meant to be shared with one another. It's best to be encountered in groups. It's best to be encountered with others. And there are plenty of ways for us to experience this love together. We are creating opportunities all throughout Acts 2 to help you experience this kind of love. And so if you're new with us or maybe haven't gotten past just a Sunday morning commitment yet, here are some ways that we can experience this love together. There are three ways. I'm going to go into each one a little bit, but there's connect, comfort, and collaborative. But these three ways are ways that I would suggest for us to go into so we can experience this love that God has called us to be a part of. And so the first one is connect. The question with that is, where are you plugged in? Where are you connecting with others? We have multiple home groups that are available that meet at various times, various locations, and we have these so you can connect with others and experience this kind of love, experience this kind of growth, experience what the original church was doing and gathering and studying God's Word and wrestling through it together. We have fellowship events that we create. We have service opportunities. We have outreach gatherings. These are all different ways for you to connect and connect deeper with people. And this connection, as you understand, or as you get more connected, you're going to understand that the people you're connecting with don't have it all together either. And so we're all just working through it together. The second one is comfort. It's one of the greatest feelings in the world, being comfortable, right? It's one of the greatest moments where you're like, yeah, where you can just kind of kick back and feel like yourself, feel like you don't have to put on a show or you're just feeling comfortable. That's what you get in connecting with people as well. You know, and everyone in this room, we can share. We each have our own story of pain. We each have our own story of struggles. We each have our own moments where life wasn't easy. You know, when we connect with one another, when we find places to be encouraged and supported, we start feeling that comfort. We start feeling that love of Jesus. See, His love binds us together and it gives us opportunities to care for one another, to genuinely care for each other in times of need. The next one is collaboration. At the root of the word, collaboration is collaborate, which means that we are together. Like in order to collaborate, there got to be two or more people, right? And Scripture tells us that that we all have different skills, we all have different talents, we all have different passions, that we all have different functions, just like a normal body does. The foot has a purpose, the hand has a purpose. And each one of us fills those kinds of roles and those purposes. And so we need to collaborate together towards the purpose of God's mission, towards the purpose of furthering His kingdom, being united and caring for one another, being united and rallying together to meet a need in someone's life, whether it's within the church or outside of the church, just identifying and seeing where we can come together and bring the talents that we all bring, that we all have, the unique skills that are instilled within us, and bringing those together for the greater purpose, to show this love that is being talked about, utilizing those to complement each other, to go deeper with greater purpose, to show somebody Jesus by loving on them. It's a part of living a lifestyle. Living a lifestyle that shows that you are His disciples. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before You. We come before You in humility. God, we come before You with a vulnerability. Say, Jesus, we need You. We need You to save us from ourselves. We need You to save us from our sins. God, and understanding that we need a Savior, God, we know that You place people in our lives that help us, that help us see you, to help us experience the love that you give us. God, we just thank you for your son, Jesus. We pray that, as we go